So if you have your Bibles or your electronic Bible device, we're going to be in probably what I would classify as probably the second best known scripture in the Bible. First, I would say is John 3:16. We probably would all say that. We see that all over the place, John 3:16. But the second, I would believe, most well-known scripture in the Bible is probably the 23rd Psalm. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And you might say, well, Ron, why in the world would you pick to study the 23rd Psalm? That's a funeral or a memorial type psalm. Why would you even go there? Well, I'm hoping this morning, after we look at this, that maybe we'll have a new view of the 23rd Psalm. Because it really spoke to me as I studied it and my walk with the Lord. And I'm hoping that if you're here this morning and you're a believer, that as we look at this psalm this morning, that you'll have a closer walk with the Lord. And if you're listening on the internet this morning, thank you for tuning in. Or if you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus in your heart, well, I'm praying that at the end of this service that you'll take that opportunity to give your life to Christ this morning. So if you have your Bibles open or your electronic device on, the 23rd Psalm, if you will listen as I read and follow along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've titled this morning's topical teaching, The Shepherd and His Sheep. You know, Jesus could have compared his people, his believers, his children, to anything in the world. No, he could have said, you know, my people are like bears, you know, or my people are strong. But that's not what he said. He could have said that my people are like lions, they have courage. But that's not what he said. He could have said that they are like foxes because they're shrewd and wise. But that's not what he said either. He could have said, my children, my believers are like doves because they're peaceful and meek. But again, he didn't say that. Well, instead, Jesus described his people. What did he call us as? He called us sheep. Now, you may or may not know, if you're not from an agricultural background, I'm not. I never lived on a farm, never was really on a farm. But sheep are really dumb. They're dumb and defenseless sheep. Or they're just dumb and defenseless. They're not very bright. In fact, they have a reputation for being dumb and a reputation for being defenseless. And they require a shepherd to care for them. They require a shepherd to protect them. They require someone who will look after their smallest needs and will lead them where they need to be. When the Lord calls us sheep, we can look at that and say, well, that's not very flattering. But see, it's right on target. Since sheep are so needy, they form that special bond with their shepherd. When our daughter Lauren was in her late teens, she went to a program that was put on by Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, called Patmos. And they went to the Bahamas, and they spent 13 weeks there. And we called it Bible boot camp because once they got there, they broke each one of these students down just like they would in military boot camp. And they broke them down to build them back up. She spent 13 weeks there in as a student, and then she went on to become an intern for a couple terms. But one of the things that they did for the students while they were there, since they were in a very agricultural area in the Bahamas, they had sheep there. And each student was issued one sheep. And they had to spend their time with that sheep. They had to live with the sheep 24/7. They had to groom the sheep. They had to name the sheep. They had to talk to the sheep. They had to take care of the sheep. And the only way that that's their little experiment that they could be done and they could give their sheep back was they had to put their sheep at a distance down the way, and they had to call the sheep by the name they had given them. And if that sheep came to them at that point, the experiment was over and they could quit being a shepherd. But if the sheep didn't come, they had to keep going. It was a great learning experience for her. You see, that sheep has to know the one that's taking care of them. And the shepherd has to know the sheep. The shepherd has to know which sheep are prone to wander. Which are the weaker ones? Which are the loyal ones? Which he calls them by name. I can't imagine being a shepherd and having to name all these sheep and never to remember what their names are. I can't even imagine that. But that's what they did. You see, the sheep becomes familiar with the shepherd. The sheep know the sound of the shepherd, even the smell of the shepherd. There's that bond between the sheep and the shepherd that isn't found anywhere else in the agricultural world. And when we become to understand that philosophy and that way it worked back between the shepherd and sheep, you see, this psalm really can speak to us. Oh, it can show us that unique relationship, you see, between the heavenly shepherd and each one of us. And it's really not so bad at that point to be called a sheep. Look at verses number 1 through 4. Verses number 1 through 4, how the shepherd encourages his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, verse number 1 talks about the relationship to the shepherd, to his sheep. David indicates that his relationship with the heavenly shepherd that he's speaking about here is a very close and personal relationship. Do you have that close and personal relationship with your shepherd this morning? How do I know it's close and personal? Because of the use of my shepherd in verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, it's my shepherd. That indicates that David is speaking of one who he knows intimately and personally. David knew from personal experience how close the shepherd/sheep relationship was. He was a shepherd boy. He knew that the shepherd was intimately involved with each area of the sheep's life. The shepherd lived with the sheep. He knew them by name. They were accustomed to his voice, his presence. They willingly followed him wherever he went, wherever he would lead them. They trusted him to supply every need that they had. You see, David took that relationship and he applied it to his relationship that he enjoyed with the Lord. You see, that's that same relationship that we can enjoy as believers today. It's the same relationship. We can enjoy that personal relationship with him. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, what did he label himself as? Good shepherd. Oh, you see that last song that they sang this morning, Good, Good Father. We could have put in there, Good, Good Shepherd, because that's what he is. That song fits so well this morning for this teaching today. And you guys had no idea what was going to be taught. And I had no idea what your last song was. But you see, that's how the Holy Spirit just fits it all together. He just puts those puzzle pieces together and they just fit. That's that relationship, that good shepherd, as we see in John 10, 1 through 15. That passage reminds us that Jesus gave his very life to save who? His sheep. Gave his very life. He speaks of the intimacy, that intimate relationship that we can have with him each and every day. He knows us by name. He calls us to follow him. And how we recognize his voice, and we need to respond in humble obedience. That's the kind of relationship that we're supposed to have with Jesus. Do you have that relationship this morning? Do you have that relationship? Number verses 1 through 4, show us the responsibility of the shepherd to the sheep. Using the language of a shepherd, David describes how the Lord ministers to his sheep. David tells us that the Lord has taken it upon himself to do for all those that belong to him. Number one, Jesus promises his provision. You see, in verse number 1-4, we're reminded that the good shepherd, Jesus, takes his sheep into places where they can feed on the best grasses. They can rest from their travels. They can find refreshment and peace beside the still waters. See, David is saying that those who belong to the Lord, those who belong to the Lord are well tended to and have all their needs met by the shepherd. How's your walk with the shepherd this morning? He promises us his provision. Number two, he promises us his path. The good shepherd always leads his sheep in the right way. There's no wrong way that Jesus is going to lead us. Whether he leads us through those green pastures in verse number 2, or he leads us into the valley that we see in verse number 4, he leads us in the best possible path, his path. In 1978, I hired on in a warehouse job. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Ken put up here, I was inducted into the Hall of Fame of the business that I worked for. But I worked there for 18 years in corporate America. And in 1996, I left my job, decided that I was going to go do something of my own. It was a difficult time because it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I went to the School of Hard Knocks. Those classes are very expensive and painful, let me tell you. But you know what? The Lord had us on a path, had my family on a path. I didn't see it then. You know, Pastor Ken talks about the parade. The parade is here. We see what's right in front of us, and then as it goes by, we don't see it anymore. Well, I was in that parade, and I could only see what was right there, but the Lord was preparing my family and myself and my son even to be business partners into what we do today. He was preparing us for that. You see, that was that path that he had us on. You know, that word path in the scripture, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. You might want to circle that in your Bible and write off to one side, circuit or orbit. That's what that word means, circuit or orbit. And it's interesting because when we talk about that, that word orbit is just like the gravitational pull on the planets around the sun. You see, that orbit causes us to orbit him. His paths cause us to orbit him. Are you orbiting the Lord this morning? Are you walking in the path that he has for you? Are you orbiting around him in his path? It's tough. It's hard. I know that some of us are going through difficult times right now, but the Lord has us on a path for a particular reason. He also promises us his presence. The presence of the good shepherd with his sheep is that theme that goes all the way through these six verses. His leadership that we see in verses 2 and 3, even in his presence in the darkest of times, and we see in verse number 4. The Lord the shepherd is in close proximity to his sheep. You see, the Lord is always in close proximity to you and to me. If we remember back in the New Testament when Jesus was in the boat and the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee, where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the bow of the boat. Did he get up and leave when the storm came? No. The disciples were fearful for their life. They stood and they said, Jesus, help us. And he calmed the storm. And what did they say? Who is this that can calm the storms and the waves? Jesus didn't leave the boat at that time. He didn't leave when there was issues. He was right there with the disciples. And he's right there with each one of us today through the difficulties that we go through. He promises us his presence. You see, the Lord is always in close proximity to us. Just like the shepherd is in close proximity to his sheep, he's always there to lead them and feed them and protect them and to watch over them at all times. That's that blessed truth that we as God's children can rejoice in today. And if you're not rejoicing in that today, I'm going to ask you why. Because he's there for us. He's there for us, and he walks with us. Even in those difficult times, just look in that poem, why did you leave me, Lord, during my difficult times? There was only one set of footprints on the beach. Why did you leave me, Lord? I didn't leave you. I carried you during that time. And he'll carry you too if you're going through those difficult times. He promises us his protection. Isn't it interesting? David mentions in this verse here, number four, he mentions the implements that the shepherd used for protection. He talked about the rod and the staff. And each of those tools had that specific purpose in the life of his sheep. You know, the staff was that long pole that had the hook on the end. Had the hook on the end, and he could use it for correcting the sheep. He could maybe whack them a little bit if they were getting out of the way or getting the wrong way. He could pull them towards him if they were in danger. If they fell into a crevice, he could get them out with that hook. It was a tool that could be used to protect them. Then there was the rod. It was much shorter. It was probably like a baseball bat that he could use as defense against animals coming against the flock. You see, we're, as his children, protected by him both day and night. See, we enjoy that absolute protection with Jesus. Our enemy may walk around. The enemy is out there each and every day. If you're living in this world, you see it each and every moment of the day. The world seems to be getting worse and worse, even as we sit here right now. But you see, we're protected by Jesus. Our enemy may walk around looking for victims to devour, and Satan is looking for that. 1 Peter 5:8 says that. Satan is looking to sift us like sand. If you look at Ephesians 6 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. If you haven't read Ephesians 6, read it today. Read it tomorrow. Read it the next day. And the next day. Because it talks about putting on the full armor of God. It doesn't say put on one piece. It says put on the full armor of God. All the armor of God that we're given that we can put on for protection. Read Ephesians 6 if you haven't read it lately. It's a wonderful scripture. Verse number 3 also talks about the restoration of the sheep. And just as a weary sheep is refreshed by feasting on that green grass and drinking from those still waters and lying in a place of safety and peace, so are we as children of God, refreshed by our good shepherd. Do you feel refreshed this morning? Did you come a little bit just tired? Been a long week. Jesus is there to refresh you this morning. Call upon him. You know, Pastor Ken often talks about his BC life, before Christ life. He talks about walking down the aisle on a Wednesday night and giving his heart to Jesus. And feeling that burden just lifted off his shoulders. He had that BC life, and maybe you've had that BC life also, where you did a lot of things before you knew Christ, but now that you know Christ, that's in the past. But isn't it true that when he lifted you out of the pit and showed you that promised land, that you felt that burden lifted off of you? I didn't have a BC life. I became a Christian at a very young age, 7 years old. My sister led me to the Lord. So I didn't have that BC life, and I'm thankful for that. But maybe you did, but if you had that BC life, or even for me, it when Jesus came into our heart, he melted the coldness of our heart. He changed it with the warmness of his embrace. Do you feel his embrace this morning? If things are not in your life as they should be, see, I encourage you this morning to go to the shepherd and ask him, what is it that I need to do to walk that closer life with you? He'll restore your soul. He'll put you where he wants you to be. My question to you this morning is, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Verse number 5 talks about how the shepherd entertains his sheep. Verse number 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You see, now the scene of this psalm has changed. The whole scene has changed. It changes from a shepherd and a sheep to a host and his guests. David tells us that even while moving through this territory of the enemy, the Lord takes time to treat him like an honored guest. And it's seen in a couple different ways. Number one, it's seen through his arrangements. Think about this, a soldier in an enemy territory, when he was trying to grab a bite to eat, would have to eat very hastily, would maybe have to gulp down a meal. He would be cowered in fear of being discovered or captured or even killed. But you see, when the Lord spreads his table for his children, us, right in the middle of his enemy, all that enemy can do is sit and watch us feast on the Lord. Are you feasting this morning? Oh, you know, there's times that we are out there and we're made fun of or persecuted. I don't know that we're really persecuted, but maybe we are in some ways. We're made fun of a lot of times. Pastor Ken said when he accepted Christ, he went back to work and they didn't have a big party for him. They called him Bible Boy and all that kind of stuff. My wife and I are part of a ministry over in the west coast of Florida, a little town called Lehigh Acres. And we're part of a ministry called Fishers of Men. And that's just a group of people who love the Lord and want to share his word and his ministry with the people there in that town. And every Thursday night, they go to a large department store and they set up a keyboard in the parking lot. And they sing worship songs right in the middle of the parking lot. Wow. You want to get some strange looks, go do that for a while. Get people walk by that they'll turn their heads so they don't have to look at you, and they'll just keep walking straight. And it's a lot of fun. My wife and I have had the opportunity to go there many, many times and be a part of the ministry. And a few Thursday nights ago, we were there. And there was this lady walking by, and one of the gentlemen walked up to her and said, "Hey, can we pray for you for anything?" She said, "I'll catch you on the way out." So she came out a few minutes later, and she proceeded to tell us her life story. The reason she was there is because she had no clean clothes. She had to go to work the next day. The laundromat was closed, so she went to the store to buy some clean clothes so she could go to work. Now, this is a divine appointment. Because as she was telling us her story for about the next 20 minutes, I listened. And finally, when she kind of slowed down, I finally said to her, I said, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" And she said, "I don't know." I said, "Would you like to know?" And she said, "Yeah." We prayed with her right there in the parking lot of this major department store, and she accepted Christ right there. The Lord brought her there because she didn't have any clean clothes and walked her back by us, and she accepted Jesus Christ that night. Are we persecuted when we do that? I don't know, persecuted, but we're laughed at, we're made fun of. But you see, even though we're in the enemy of the territory right there, we're feasting on the blessings of the Lord right in the middle of all the enemy right there. And that's what he does for us. That's what he does for us. Through his arrangements. And also through his appointments. You see, when a guest arrived at a home back in these times, they were anointed with oil to show how much they meant to their host. And it was considered an insult not to wash their feet. I'm kind of glad I don't live back in that time, because I don't know that I want anybody really washing my feet and pouring oil on my head, but that's what they did. That was considered what they had to do. You see, it was important. And as we move through this life, the Lord takes many opportunities to anoint us with the oil of his grace. His goodness and his blessings are all those reminders that we are precious in his sight. I love that little song that we used to sing in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. What are they? They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves us all. John 3:16 says that he died for the world. When we're saved, we are adopted into the family of God. And you guys know that I love that word adoption because as my daughter has worked in foster care, she has gone to court so many times with families that adopt a little child. You know, a child is over here in a torn apart family and they get moved into a foster family. And that foster family says, we want to bring you into our family. And then they come over here to the courts and they're adopted into that family. And now they're part of that family. What a blessed thing that is for this little child over here who had nothing. And now they're adopted. You see, that's just like us. Before we were saved, we had nothing. We're adopted into the family. We're part of the family of God. And if you can't say amen to that, I don't know what we can say. We are adopted into the family. That's a beautiful word that we can use in our Christian belief. We are adopted into his family. We're precious in his sight today. No one is more loved than us. We're adopted into his family. David also talks about the abundance. David tells us that the Lord's blessing in his life are so great that he has more than he can handle. His cup runs over into the saucer. And I was reminded of the first miracle of Jesus. What was the first miracle? It was when he turned water into wine. And what did he tell the servants to go do? He said, go fill the pots up. But don't fill them 3/4 of the way. Fill them to where? The brim. To their spilling over. And he turned the water into wine. You see, that's just like us. You see, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're filled and walking close to Jesus, he fills us up so it's running over into the cup. The cup runs over into the saucer. Is your life running over this morning? Are you filled to overflowing? I would ask you this morning, as we finish up, ask the Lord to fill your cup. Do so with an honest, hungry heart. Fill your life to overflowing. Look for people that you can minister to, share the gospel with. Look for ways that you can serve, be a part. Read the Bible, pray, fellowship. Serve when you can serve. You all know what the reward for service is? It's more service. The reward for service is more service. He'll bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you some more. Do you know the shepherd? That's my question this morning. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd this morning? Verse number 6, how the shepherd excites his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the scene of this psalm changes again. And now David pictures himself as this pilgrim headed to a city. The verse tells us what Jesus is going to do for us along the way. Number one, Jesus provides us with his grace. We as believers are assured that goodness and mercy will be a constant companion to us each and every step of the way. We need to know that whatever we face in life, nothing is going to be greater than what Jesus can see us through. And that may be hard right now. You may be going through some difficult times in your life. And you may say to me, Ron, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does. And if you're a believer of his, he has the path set out for each one of us. He goes with us along the way to ensure that safe passage for each one of us as we travel through this harsh land that we're in. Yes, we're in a harsh land. With him near, though, we don't have anything to fear. We really don't. There's nothing to fear. There's a story of a great Scottish preacher, John McNeill. He told this during his childhood that he had to walk a long distance. He had to walk a long distance home each and every evening, and his route led him through a forest and a large ravine. Reports said that there were wild animals and there was gangs of robbers were often seen in that area. Great fear would seize his little heart as he made his way past those dark-looking trees. He recalled one night, it was especially dark, but I was aware that there was someone or something slowly moving and quietly towards me. I was sure it was a robber. When a voice called out, the eerie tone struck my heart with fear. I thought I was finished, but then came a second call. This time I could hear the voice saying, "John, is it you?" It was his father. He had known of the fear, and he had come out to meet him. It was that word of comfort from John McNeill's father that brought peace to his fearful heart that night. What each of us needs this morning is that comforting word from our great shepherd, our Father. That good, good Father that we sang about. That word that will expel our fears and eliminate our worries. As we close this morning, the last sentence of this psalm, to me, is the most exciting sentence of all. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus promises us his glory. David concludes this psalm with that precious reminder. That precious reminder that life here on earth will end someday. And whether we're taken one by one away into glory, or whether we're raptured out of here, the harpazo of meeting Jesus in the air, whichever it is, life will end here one day. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to spend that eternity with Jesus Christ? As we're harpazoed away and spent that 7 years in heaven, while there's terrible things going on down here on earth, and as we come back with him in the second coming for the millennial period, are you ready? Are you ready?